it's not an emergency. Okay, let's move on now to the scheduled items for this afternoon, starting with 1084.
Accept engineer's report on Oregon Health and Science University sky bridge and tunnel encroachment.
Commissioner Novick, do you want these two read together or separate?
Actually, I think they're separate.
Okay, so I'll turn it over to you and to the Bureau.
I'll give a little preview. OHSU is requesting permission to construct two structures, a bridge across Southwest Whitaker connecting the existing Center for Health and Healing North to the new Center for Health and Healing South, and a tunnel under Southwest Vine connecting the Center for Health and Healing South to guest housing. The purpose of the sky bridge is to connect the existing hospital floor and surgical suites in CAH North with new surgical suites and surgical recovery in CAH South. The sky structure is exclusively reserved for private transport of patients to and from surgical suites. And the tunnel will be used for the transfer of materials and waste. Only OHSU employees will have access. The tunnel will keep patients and families completely separate from the transfer and delivery of materials and supplies, as well as the extraction of waste, and ensure a sterile patient environment is maintained. So with that introduction, I'll turn it over to Kurt.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council. My comments will be brief, but I did want to frame today's discussion. It's been approximately 10 years since the Skybridge has come before the City Council. One of the tasks that I actually say no to pretty strongly and pretty firmly in my day job is proposals for sky structures. I believe the mayor made comments back in May expressing his concern around sky structures, and I've actually used those comments to help inform proposals that come our way. So we actually have two sky structures here before you today. There's been a lot of work that's gone on behind the scenes to get those here today, but I want to highlight the fact that we have a rather old, antiquated 1982 document that strongly discourages these sky structures, and the bar is set extremely high for applicants to propose a new sky structure in the city of Portland. The primary reasons for doing that is we want to keep our streets active. We want people on the street. We want our retails to thrive. We want people not above, not below, but at the ground level in our streets. And so that, in short, is the reason behind this document and why the bar is so high for these sky structures. I've asked my staff today, Fabio for OHSU and Mr. Haley behind me for Portland State, to keep these brief, but there has been a tremendous amount of work and conversations to get to this point. So although brief, very important presentation, and then I think you'll hear why the bar is high and how they've reached that bar from both these proposals today.
Good afternoon, Council. For the record, Fabio DeFreitas from PBOT. So I'm here to present the engineer's report for OHSU's major encroachment for both a sky bridge and a tunnel concerning blocks 25, 28, and 29 in the South Waterfront District. Just a general overview of where we are. No doubt the council is aware where we are. South Waterfront, so we're west of the I-5 freeway, south of Ross Island Bridge, and we're here talking about blocks 28, 29, and actually 25 as well. An aerial perspective of the South Waterfront District again in the area that we're talking about. You'll see currently there is a surface parking lot on block 28. There's an existing below-grade parking lot on block 29. And there's the existing Center for Health and Healing on block 25. So this is a good overview of the site and general project description. On block 28, we have the proposed mixed-use building, including above-grade parking. On block 28, the new CHH South building on block 29. And importantly, the connection for the tunnel is between blocks 28 and 29 below Southwest Bond and the sky bridge connecting the two buildings on blocks 29 and 25 over the Southwest Whitaker right-of-way. This is just a graphic representing the connection of the sky bridge between the proposed CHH South to the existing CHH North building. You'll see they're outlined in yellow. At the third and fourth levels, the Skybridge is proposing to connect the two buildings. In plan view, again, we're talking about levels 3 and levels 4 of the existing building on the north side and the proposed building on the south side. One of the policies that we had to consider was in relation to the Sky Bridge was its relationship to the right-of-way and proximity to the corner, wherein the policy actually suggests that sky structures should be closer to a mid-block location. It's very impossible to do in this consideration and in this situation due to existing facilities within the existing CHH North building, wherein the only connection point that could be made was here towards the intersection. Just some quick images now of the proposal. In front of you is the proposal for the Sky Bridge with the building on the left side of the slide, the proposed CHH South building connecting to the existing building on the north side of the of Whitaker. Closer perspective of the proposed Sky Bridge, you'll see that it is a two-story structure. There's two levels to it. Dimensionally, we're talking about 38 feet from grade of the street to the bottom of the structure. The height of the structure itself is approximately 33 feet, and the overall width of the structure is approximately 26 feet.
Why does it need to be a double-decker?
Again, because of the connectivity between the functions and operations of the existing CHH North building to those similar functions in the proposed building. And I'm sure the applicant can provide you with more detail.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? If they're developing both block 29 and 28, currently the parking for block 25 is at block 29. Will the parking connect to the building, block 28 as well? Will you have access through that parking to both buildings?
There's no proposal for parking garage connection below grade. So there'll be the separated, the existing separated garage structure under existing block 29, under the new building, and a new garage above grade, actually, on block 28.
And has that, since I was just actually there yesterday getting my flu shot, the great, one of the great amenities here is when you go to OHSU, the clinic there, you can park and take the elevator straight up. So you're saying that you can theoretically continue to park at the existing place, but it will not give you access to the new buildings? You'll address that in your comments?
Talk about the parking under the parking. CHH now.
Right? There is a great amenity about being able to park and access the healthcare facility. And a lot of people are in wheelchairs or whatever, so maybe the technical team will sponsor will address that later.
Just a section of the Sky Bridge again, demonstrating its two levels. The connection for the tunnel between blocks 28 and 29th below grade, below Southwest Bond. And the tunnel again in section view, you'll see the top of the tunnel is approximately 18 feet below the street grade. Tunnel itself will have a continuous 12-foot height within. That concludes my presentation about the project. I just want to identify that, as Kurt mentioned, we did a thorough analysis of the policy document. So we have a number of standard policies that we had to consider, including a number of area-wide policies and standards that we had to take into account. Staff identified that all the policies are met and satisfied, all of the standards, including some very stringent environmental standards, which we received support and documentation through a number of different technical reports that were reviewed throughout the city. Were all satisfactory and met the policies as well. I should note for your purposes as well, there is a design review element to this project that is in process. The applicant filed their application for their design review several weeks ago. I believe its current status is that it's incomplete, though the applicant filed some additional information this week. So our design commission will be considering the two buildings as a whole, However, there has been a public hearing in front of our design commission in relation to the Skybridge structure itself, and they have blessed the proposal for this single sky structure. I should also stress that the project initially began with two sky structures connecting both of the new, all three of the new buildings. The design commission urged the applicant to rethink that option of two sky bridges. The applicant has done so, and before you today, your consideration is one sky bridge and one tunnel.
The last thing I think I'll highlight that council may find of interest, this 1982 document actually references different parts of the city. South Waterfront, as we know it, did not exist in 1982. So we tried to apply this as best we could.
You keep talking down that report. If you look at the small print, it was authored by Charlie Hales.
Not quite that.
I was just helping your cause.
I waved it a lot, but it was done before I got here. I brandished it like a weapon.
I seem to remember in other encroachment situations, we charge for use of the right-of-way. Are we doing that in this case?
We are. One of the things we did was we moved the lease discussions and lease agreements out of the council discussion and moved that back to PBOT, and that's something that our right-of-way section does very methodically with the applicant, looking at land value and lease values in the area.
That happens separately, and it is happening.
That is happening.
So now that I'm looking at the right slide on page 2, so you have the proposed sky bridge is in yellow. So that connects the existing building with the new building. And the tunnel connects it to the building to the east.
Right.
And the tunnel, therefore, connects the garage?
You'll hear more from the applicant. It's more of a goods and services a movement of material, not a movement of necessarily people or vehicles.
Okay.
All right, because block 25 and 29 do share parking.
They do.
Right. Yeah, okay. Okay. Any other questions for our team? Thank you both very much. I think we have a presentation from the applicant.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Novick. Mayor Hales, members of the commission, it's a pleasure to be in front of you today to testify on this matter. My name is Brian Newman. I am the Associate Vice President for Campus Planning, Development, and Real Estate at Oregon Health and Science University, and I'm joined by David Stazek with Zimmer Gunzel Frasca. We're here, as you know, seeking approval of two major encroachments for our new acute care outpatient tower that will begin construction next year, the Center for Health and Healing South. One, as you know, a tunnel under Bond Avenue, and which I'll get into more detail to answer Commissioner Fish's questions, and another sky bridge between CHH South and the existing Center for Health and Healing. We're prepared to give substantive testimony in support as far as programmatic justification for the Skybridge, as well as the level of design excellence that we think will enhance the public realm. I just want to acknowledge, we understand that Skybridges, while not prohibited, are discouraged. We're not asking you to lower the bar. We feel, because of our programmatic justification and the design of what we're proposing, we more than exceed that bar. The Design Commission, when endorsing our proposal, was very careful in their write-up and in their comments to make sure that they weren't creating a precedent-setting decision that others could easily follow, whether the others are OHSU or anyone else. And so we took that very, very seriously, and we worked in an iterative fashion with the staff and with the Design Commission to get what you see in front of you as good as it could be for your approval today. Let me start by talking a little bit about the OHSU strategic plan. Maybe you can just click forward for me. Thanks, David. So we call our growth into South Waterfront and the programmatic elements of that the cascade of acuity. As you know, Markham Hill is almost out of all the developable land. We have a very few remaining sites. We've prioritized those sites for inpatient expansion, for tertiary and quaternary care. And we're moving outpatient care more to the waterfront and beyond. And a big change in healthcare right now is this changing mode of care from inpatient to outpatient. Things that were inpatient, like bone marrow transplants and hip replacements, are becoming more and more outpatient procedures and reimbursed on an outpatient basis. And because of that, much of this care, while outpatient, is high acuity outpatient care. And so what we're talking about in South Waterfront is a high acuity outpatient facility. let me just orient you real quick to the blocks. You saw this in Fabio's presentation. We refer to the six blocks from the tram to the waterfront as OHSU Commons. It's really where OHSU over the next 20 to 30 years is going to be building a major medical center right here in downtown Portland on all six of those blocks and possibly block 33 along the freeway as well. Block 25 is the existing CHH North, our flagship outpatient facility that opened in 2006. CHH South is on the parking garage, so it's connected to that below-grade parking garage directly south. And then, of course, the guest house is to the east. And the guest house is something I'm extraordinarily excited about and proud of. One of the biggest barriers to care for people who come from outside the Portland region, and 50% of our inpatients come from outside the Portland region, as high as 60% in some service lines like cancer. One of the biggest barriers to care is not just insurance, which has largely, for a lot of people, been addressed with the Affordable Care Act. It's access to housing. For people who are here for weeks at a time, and many of our outpatient transplant patients are, if they can't get affordable housing, they can't get care. And so that guest house, if you will, with 76 units of housing, much of it free for those people who stay there, is to meet that need. The program stacking is as follows. CHH North is our specialty clinics. But CHH South, and then combined with the surgical floor in North, it's not a medical office building with day surgeries. We call it an ambulatory hospital, and we do it for a reason. It's going to have 15 operating rooms, a whole floor of invasive procedures with 14 procedure rooms. It will have two floors of extended stay care, so 48 patient rooms, bigger than a lot of community hospitals. And these patients will stay overnight up to 48 hours, because that's now the threshold for billing under outpatient care. And then we're topped by a six-story cancer center for the Knight Cancer Institute. So it's highly specialized, it's high acuity, and it operates like a hospital 24 hours a day and built to eye occupancy, the highest seismic, structural, and life safety standards that exist. And so it's built at the same level as a hospital in case of an emergency. Now, how do you fit that into Portland's 200 by 200 foot blocks? A lot of our program wants to be on one floor. They like large floor plates. We love Portland's 200 by 200 blocks like everybody else. One way to do that is by vacating streets and creating super blocks. And actually, as we've done studies of our peer institutions, like the Dana-Farber in Boston, their new facility, and this is a new facility with a similar program as ours, superimposed on our site, is almost four blocks large. The next one we looked at, Memorial Sloan Kettering in the most urban place in the country, Manhattan, downtown Manhattan, is as large as three blocks. And then finally, the Mayo Clinic Gonda building, which recently opened, is also much larger. Now, we are not asking for a street vacation and making a super block, but in order for us to fit our program in a way that we committed to doing and expanding in South Waterfront, it requires some flexibility. Again, but setting that bar high and meeting it. So the third and fourth floors, as you can see, are really that essential connection between North and South for procedural and surgical care. And the next slide, I want to really get into more specifics to answer Commissioner Fritz's question. The fourth floor is where those 15 operating rooms are, as well as our pre-op, stage one recovery, stage two recovery, all accessible to our care teams, which we have interdisciplinary team care, all on that section. And so there's a corridor that's behind the red line for infection control, and patients are actually being wheeled on gurneys. And these are not people who are going to be on the street crossing as pedestrians. So this is not an activity that would happen at street level. And then the third floor is really connecting our diagnostic imaging, which we're making a major investment in, with our image-guided procedures. And that's GI, it's interventional radiology, it's bronchoscopy, and then finally it's cardiology, our cath lab. And so having that connection as well, where patients can get between diagnostic imaging and our procedural space, is very, very important. And again, these are patients being wheeled and transported. But it also is an important connection for sterile processing and material flow that serves all of these procedural areas. Next, I want to turn my attention to the tunnel. Now, the tunnel is not for the public, and it's not for Parkers, whether they're OHSU employees or not. What we have done with the support of the Design Commission and staff at the city is really look at centralizing our dock function. So rather than having a large dock in every one of our buildings, we're building one large dock on Block 28 on the east side. It'll serve all three of those blocks and future blocks as well with a future tunnel system that will also be extended, although we're building phase one of that tunnel to the west to connect it to CHH South. And so we did originally propose a sky bridge that was going to be mixed between material and patients parking. In back and forth with the staff and design commission, they acknowledge that those patients are ambulatory, and we had a harder time justifying the connection above grade. And so we agreed to drop that in lieu of the tunnel. But again, the tunnel is not for patients or parkers. It's really back of house connected to our dock. And those patients that do park there will cross the street. Many of our patients will be directed to below the grade, below the existing building, so they can still park and come up. But some of our patients will cross the street. So the tunnel is, go back, in section is there, and we're going to be boring under as opposed to cut and cover, so we do not interrupt surface traffic or transit operations during construction. So we actually have to start construction as early as this January to get down 30 feet to make that connection since we're not doing the sky bridge. Let me close before I give David the opportunity to talk about the design and by saying we have done our homework when it comes to outreach. We've had two open houses that have attracted 300 neighbors to our facilities to talk about the proposal. We've made a presentation to the South Portland Neighborhood Association's Land Use Committee. We've met and presented at least three times to the Mirabella, our closest neighbor to the southeast, to this new building. And we've met one-on-one with anybody who's asked us to. We've tried very hard to answer every single question that's been presented to us. And all the feedback with this refined proposal has been very, very positive. And so we're enthusiastic about that. And we're hoping that you'll find that this also meets the bar that you set very high to justify these connections.
Thanks, David. Brian. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, good afternoon. I'm David Stazek with Zimmer Gunsel Frasca Architects. My very brief design discussion today is going to be focused on three key areas: scale, vision, and detail. And so I'm going to start with some scale slides so that we can understand how this building and how this project is going to relate to its neighbors in the South Waterfront. This first slide represents the new 15-story building, CHH South, and its relationship to the Mirabella, its 30-story residential tower neighbor next to it. You can see that at 15 stories and almost the same size of CHH North, that these buildings are the kind of minor players in the skyline of the South Waterfront. This view shows you a view, it's kind of a west elevation that shows the relationship of the bridge in scale to CHH North in the new building CHH South, and you can see it is a double height bridge. It is 38 feet above the street, and you can see it is spanning the Whitaker right-of-way, which is 62 feet. If we want to talk about design vision, OHSU has set a very high goal for the design vision of this building and this bridge. Its aspirations are light, bright, and uplifting, and we're going to achieve that with a very light material palette of a lightly tinted blue and silver colored glass along with vertically oriented textured metal panels. So again, the material palette will be very light and bright. How does this relate to the bridge? The bridge has not been conceived as a simple tube between two buildings, but more of an expression or an extension of the lower floors of the new building. The third and the fourth floor will be extending out from the new building and reaching out to meet CHH North. The two levels of the podium and the bridge will be light and open, and it will allow daylight to enter the building. It will also allow views to and from the spaces. If we peel some of the building away at the bridge, we can kind of see how we're going to do this. We're going to span between both buildings with plate girders, and what this allows us to do is have a column-free span between the two buildings. So there'll be no columns in the bridge space. It will be just the curtain wall and the glass there. The other thing that these long span beams will do is allow us to suspend the third floor of the bridge with hang rods. So you can see how much thinner the third floor of the bridge is in that illustration, and that's because we're suspending it, so that's not actually spanning between the buildings. So again, we're maximizing and trying to minimize the thinness or make the bridge structure as thin as possible. The other thing that Brian mentioned when he was walking through the floor plans is that this bridge is divided down the middle. It's divided down the middle to help separate that kind of procedural and surgical space from the more family and caregiver space. And that's divided down the middle with a full height glass wall. The glass wall will have a translucent film up to about 6 feet, so it will provide some privacy back and forth from those two spaces. But because the film stops at 6 feet and it will be clear glass above that, that allows light and views through the bridge. At night, we're going to try and use lighting to emphasize the warm wood walls and the fascias and the ceilings of the bridge and of the podium floors of the new building. And by placing the bridge at the intersection, you know, closer to the intersection as opposed to mid-block, it actually helps identify that new northeast entrance to the new building, as well as provide some shelter over that entrance. As we zoom in, we can see the openness and transparency of the all-glass facade. We can see the warmth in the wood of those ceilings and those materials. And we can also see the lightness and the skinniness of that structure. You almost don't even see it there. So in closing, this bridge is a very crucial and integral part to the success of OHSU's mission in the South Waterfront, and we think it will be a very warm and welcoming addition to the South Waterfront neighborhood. Thank you, and we'll take any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions?
So thank you for it looks like an absolutely splendidly beautiful building. And Block 29 will overlook one of the great parks in our park system. So let me go back to what I tried to raise inartfully before and just have you respond to it. And I'll use an example. So I get all my family care medical services I get from the existing facility, Block 25. And recently I raced to an appointment, parked in the parking structure, walked safely to the elevator, took the elevator up, went to another elevator, took it up to the family doctor, and was told I'd gone to the wrong facility.
Uh-oh.
So, and that happens as you get older. So I went down to the ground floor, went out the entrance, got on the tram, didn't have to cross. There was no hazards along the way. Tram drops me off, and I walk out the exit into a building to my doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
So it was all protected, it was all safe, and I didn't have to cross any intersections.
Sure.
And I think I'm probably not atypical of someone who coming to this complex is gonna park wherever I can.
Yes.
And you're gonna have parking at Block 28, but you could just as easily park at Block 29. As I understand it though, the way this is configured, if I'm going to the new facility in Block 28, I'd have to cross the street to get there.
That's right.
There's no protected place. And that's partly because the Design Commission discouraged you from putting a
skybridge.
A skybridge. But I'm wondering, since the idea here is to have connectivity, what is the barrier to having some connection from the parking in Block 29 so that you could access either building and the healthcare services? Is it a cost issue, or is there some other technical barrier?
The last point, though, the question you made: what's the obstacle to doing what? I'm sorry.
If you park,
yep,
at Block in the existing parking structure,
yep,
but you want to go to the new building.
Oh, you'll be able to. So thanks for clarifying. So the below grade parking structure under the one you parked in last
block
time
29.
You were there, well, that is a 2-block parking structure. It's under Blocks 25 and 29, so it's a 2-block. We built it to anticipate a future tower on Block 29. So you actually enter on Block 29 and drive under, right now, Block 25, which is CHH North.
Right.
So there will be 2 elevator cores in that parking garage, below-grade parking garage, that'll bring you both up to the existing CHH and the new CHH South. So if you continue to park below-grade, you'll still be able to use either of those elevator cores
so
and
you
come
got me.
Up.
That I understand.
Okay.
That part I do understand.
Great.
But I can't get to Block 28 without going upstairs, out the door on a rainy day, crossing
the street.
A busy street, and going in.
That.
And the beauty of what you've accomplished in the existing structure is you don't have to do that. You can park, and everything is protected.
Yes. So,
including the trip on the tram if you go to the wrong place for your appointment.
There's a lot of people within OHSU that have the similar kind of concern. And what we're trying to do right now below Blocks 25 and 29, it's a mix of employee parking and patient parking. We're moving all of those employees out, and they will be parking in Block 28. So all of the parking below CHH North and South is going to be patient parking. Now, we will still need some patient parking in Block 28, and we're going to do as best we can to direct people there that we know from their pre-work before they register, well, when they register, that are ambulatory, and that won't be a challenge for them from a physical access or a convenience perspective.
But you're right, they are going to have to cross the street, those small group of patients that do park in Block 28. One of the reasons we had a proposal for SkyBridge initially was to avoid that. We understand that this is iterative, and it was a harder justification to the Design Commission and to staff to justify that SkyBridge connection. And so we dropped that in order to make sure we had a stronger case for the other SkyBridge, which is absolutely essential. And then there was another need, obviously, for the dock, the central dock, to connect, which we're doing by a tunnel. So I'm not trying to avoid your answer, your question. You're absolutely right. There will be a minority of patients, or it's not a small number, but there will be patients that will have to cross the street to get into CHH South at Park and Block 28.
Okay, and it sounds like you've thoroughly vetted that as an issue, and you because it just what struck me is if it was just a passageway at the parking level that will allow the people to walk into the you could allow someone who parks at Block 29 to either go to the new structure to the east or to the structure to the north.
You mean making a connection apart at the parking level?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that and patients parking above grade. It's just a question of how far out of direction do we want to send the patients, because then they would have to walk through the parking garage once they got to the other side of the tunnel. And so I think for a lot of different reasons, and there's others as well, we arrived at this
other question
answer.
I had is for your architect. The housing above Block 28 is on the north end of the building running on an east-west axis. And I'm just curious, when you were considering all the various permutations of where you put the housing, what made that the most appealing in your design?
There were a couple of reasons that we did that. One of the first reasons is so that by sliding that tower to the north and sliding the new tower, the levels above the podium of CHH South, to the south, a little closer to Carruthers Park, that actually kept some views for CHH South over that now fifth floor terrace that was the space that the tower could have been in. The second is to maintain as much south-facing terrace on the top of the parking structure for those folks in the guest housing. So we have a completely landscaped and hardscaped terrace that's an elevated terrace that overlooks the south, and it's facing south and has views of the river. And lastly, it was to get the patient housing as far away from the Mirabella Tower as possible so that we could maintain the kind of breathing space between those urban structures.
That's a great answer. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who's here to speak on this particular item? And this is not an emergency ordinance, right? So the way this is structured is we'll get council questions answered by staff and maybe make some comments and then schedule this for second reading in a week. So comments, concerns?
I do have a question for staff.
Yeah, please.
And for the commissioner. I certainly appreciate the proposal here, and as a former worker at OHSU for 22 years, we're very fond of our tunnels and sky bridges and connections and such, so it'll just feel like home to have one of a tunnel or a sky bridge and a tunnel. My question is about the 1982 policy and about other perhaps less well-connected facilities such as Russellville, where we don't have patients going back and forth, although I know the reason I asked my question about the second floor, it certainly makes sense where you have surgical rooms and recovery rooms to have a connection, but the second floor doesn't seem to have quite that compelling need for connectivity. I'm fine with it. I also think that seniors who are living at Russellville and who need to cross a very small one-way right-of-way should be allowed to have a sky bridge there so that they don't get rained on, because there's no public happening in that right-of-way. There's no shops for them to shop at, besides which they're holding onto their walkers and in their wheelchairs trying to get to activities. So what is the process for another entity in a different part of town to come and ask for something which is needed for their residents and clients?
Great question. Thank you. Remembering back to 2005 when the Cherrywood Village Sky Bridge was here, my younger days at PBOT, this room was full of a lot of interested parties, residents of that facility, and they made a very compelling case to council, and I think other entities like that could go through the process that's been there. There were comments made by the council, and I believe Mayor Katz at the time, that said there should be an encouragement to allow these special circumstances to exist, and that has resided, at least in my mind and unofficially there. I will say that this document needs to be updated. I'm trying not to highlight that as a work plan that council is going to ask us to take on right now, given the other volume of work. But that document certainly needs to be updated. The maps are out of date. The city has changed. And I think capturing your comments is something that would be wise in updating in that document. But certainly, Russellville could make an application like this and make this case and go through the criteria, go through commission, work on a design, and bring a proposal to council.
Colleagues, I would hope that if that happened, that we would be as accommodating for a lesser-known entity as we are being for OHSU. Thank you very much.
Well, up to a point. I'll make some comments. Maybe the document needs to be updated, but the philosophy of lively public realm and wariness about sky bridges is, I think, still justified. And actually, did you say it's been 10 years since we've had, since 2005? So given the amount of construction in the city in the last 10 years, if we haven't had one for 10 years, I'd say we're operating at about the right pace, that these ought to be rare and exceptional because we do have a lively public realm. So the philosophy behind that document is not outdated, which is that a lively city happens at street level, and that's why our whole design regime is so much about the first 30 feet of a building. So I'm happy that this is a rare exception, and I think in order to pass the test, the proposal has to rise from being an internal convenience to being a necessity or serving a public purpose. And I think this one passes the test, if my version of that test, because, again, we've got a community interest in a lively public realm that we've tried to capture in the policy and making this a very high bar. I think OHSU and their architects have done a good job of both meeting that requirement and doing it in a way that that the design does honor the public realm. I particularly appreciate the transparency, even though this isn't a design case here before the council, that the transparency of the sky bridge is carried into the whole floor plates of the building, because it does make it clear this is a public way that's connected to what's happening at the street level. So I think you've finessed both in design and in how you've been measured in your use of the tool here in a way that certainly, as these guys know, I had some concerns about this, and I just want you to know that I think you've met my standards for when this is appropriate. So thank you for doing a great job.
Mayor, let me just, as a consumer, let me just say that I agree with your comments, and if there was an example of a particular use where having the maximum circulation seems to me to be in the public interest, it's in a healthcare setting, because as I noted, the alternative is people having to go on the street level to cross in to cross to other buildings. And I'm struck every time I go to this particular area how many people arrive by in wheelchairs or have other barriers. So the idea that it's internally structured in a way that you can seamlessly go throughout the campus without actually having to cross the street or go outside is one of the charms of, I think, how you're designing this campus. And I agree. I think that's a bar that's higher than the mere convenience of connecting one office building to another just for the convenience of employees, for example. So I also have to note that while it's not necessarily before us, it does look like a spectacularly beautiful building. So.
Okay, any other questions for staff? If not, then this passes the second reading next week. Thank you very much.